Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 16. In this session, we will be having a practical session. That is, we will be putting into practice the things that we have learned. And then tonight, I will be ministering to everybody individually. Hallelujah. Amen. Have a great time tonight, too. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 16. What do we call this? What do we title this teaching? Wait till tomorrow, I guess. Huh? Wait till tomorrow, we'll find out. Matthew's Gospel 16 and verse 15. But who do you say that I am? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, as it were hell, shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. So, he said, I'll give you the keys, which we said refers to access or authority. Say, I have access. Come on, say that. Say, I have access in the kingdom of heaven. You know, some people think that there is some angel that stands at one certain door, and then that angel gives you access. They call it the pearly gates, I think. And, you know, people have... How many of you know that? How many of you, let me ask you. How many of you have had oral dreams before? Nightmares. You can't lie. You've had nightmares before? Nightmares. Now, oftentimes, if you watch a bad movie... Or you've been watching a bad movie. My daughter once, she's complaining that she was having nightmares. I said, look at the cartoons you're watching. I said, you watch cartoons. And that's what you're seeing in your dream. So, I can't do anything about it. You have to stop watching it. Then you stop seeing it. Amen. And that's just basic. You know, so, many of you didn't notice if you watch those horror movies, you have bad dreams. Huh? Right? Is it true? You get them out, you begin to see things. And that means you expose yourself to certain information, they came back to you in a spiritual form. It's the same thing if your knowledge of the Word of God is twisted. Your visions will be twisted. That's what happens. You begin to see all sorts of things. You go to heaven. You see hell. You see two entrances. One to hell. In the same city. One goes to hell. One goes to hell. The same area. I mean, if you are smart enough, you can cross over. You know? And all sorts of things like that. You see them. Because that is the impression you have. Hallelujah. I'll tell you my own personal experience. Years ago, I had a vision that the Lord showed me that I received of the Lord. In that vision, I saw burning fire. In that vision. That's what I saw. And later on, when my understanding of the scriptures changed, I saw something similar, but I did not see the same thing. Because my understanding of the Word of God had changed. So, visions are made here. They are made here. Visions are made here. If you look at Peter's vision related with his knowledge, Acts 10, they are made here. So, a function of what you know. So, a lot of people have all sorts of ideas another. I even know some of them who sell books on the nonsense that they say they sell. Some of them are outright liars. You know, they just cook this up because they know that church people are believers. They will believe. Just tell them that one brother is a brother, yes. At my birthday, 21 years ago, I think, or 22. No, 21 years ago. No, 20 or 21 years ago. I just told him to share. I'll never do that again. I said, share something. So he shook his head like this. He said, somebody from somewhere died. Not Christ, somebody from somewhere. And came back from the dead and said that Jesus that year wanted to come 2 times. Was it 3 times? But the church was not ready. He's no longer part of the church. So the church is not ready. But that he wants, that he's coming whether the church is ready or not. I was so ashamed of myself. My birthday. Hallelujah. The thing was that he was talking, I had walked away. And he said that so quickly, I couldn't jump at him. You know, because if you're a pastor and somebody starts talking like that, collect your microphone from him. Don't wait till the damage is done. Get your thing, say thank you, sir. Say it outside, not here. Hallelujah. So, you've got to be careful of visions that are not in line with the word. Even the ones you saw. Even the ones you yourself, you saw. If they are not from the word. Somebody told me one vision like that, very long. It was on Facebook. The thing was so long, longer than Book of Revelation. So he said, sir, what do you think about this? I said, forget it. He said, sir, I was looking for interpretation. I said, only unbelievers in the Bible took dream for you to interpret. That's how I shut him up. Hallelujah. So even your own visions, you got to check it. I shared this. I don't know what series I explained this. Was it dreams? Was that the title? There's something I thought about dreams. Leading and perception. Yep. Concerning leading and perception. That's the title. So, right in there, I explain dreams. Where do dreams come from? Amen. So you get that and listen to it. So that you will not get, you will not go and be finding spirit husband, spirit wife, and soul husband, and all kinds of things. So you will know where dreams came from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you say you don't want spirit husband, what do you want? Animal husband? Is it not spirit that your husband will be? Abba. Alright now, so you have access to the kingdom, praise God, and you are in the kingdom now. Say, I'm in the kingdom now. Say, I'm in the kingdom now. Don't say, I'm in heaven now. You know, we said heaven has different personalities. We have wicked spirits in the heavens. Remember that? Aha. Say, I am in the kingdom. That is, in heaven, you are in charge. Hallelujah. That is why he added the word kingdom. Authority. Is that okay? Are you getting me better now? Huh? Okay, you should. Alright. So, he says we have access. And look at Ephesians 2:18. He said, by one spirit, we have access to the Father. Hallelujah. By one spirit, we have access to the Father. So, nobody has access to the Father different from the other person. Nobody. You see, when you have a fellow Christian, even if he's a pastor, pray with you, he's not praying with you based on a special privilege, he's agreeing with you. Because we have access by one spirit. That word one in the Greek means same or singular. Hallelujah. Alright. Now, you know, we said we are in the kingdom now. Praise the Lord. So I'm in the kingdom now. Now, what prophecy was given in the Old Covenant concerning the kingdom of God today? What prophecy? The most pointed prophecy was which one? Psalm 110 verse 1. Right? That's what David prophesied. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I told you, between that prophecy and Isaiah 53 from verse 4 to verse 10 is the most quoted portion of the Old Testament. Anyway, maybe with Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God. Those are the most quoted texts of the Old Testament because they carry so much truth in them. Now, that said, what does that prophecy represent? Please follow me quickly because of our time. When Jesus rose from the dead, Peter was the first person to use that prophecy in explanation. Now let's see what he said about that prophecy. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. Acts 2. Hallelujah. And I heard the Lord say to a pastor here, you may not have the experience right now, but you have my spirit. You have my spirit. And I will give you the right experiences in the right places. Therefore, never speak low about what I've called you to do. Take a hold of it. Take a hold of it boldly and proclaim the message. Proclaim the message. Don't be intimidated by anybody or anything, not even by your own personal challenges. Proclaim the message. Ensure that you are proclaiming the message. Never get intimidated to compromise the message. You may not know everything about the message now. You may not have all the knowledge right now. But what you have, proclaim it and proclaim it boldly. That experience that you seek, you will have. You will not lack it. My spirit will give you those experiences. You don't need to exaggerate things. You don't need to feel like you have to add to this or add to that. Just stay with what you have and then you will see things expand and grow. They will grow in the lives of men and you will see the fruits in many years to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me get back to teaching now. So, amen. Amen. Say, I believe I receive. In the name of Jesus. In Acts 2. So, how did Peter explain that prophecy? He said, therefore, verse 33, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had what? He has said for this which you now see and hear. He's quoting that prophecy. He's saying that prophecy meant the gift of utterance to us. The gift of utterance to us today. That prophecy. He says, he has said for this which you now see and hear. You know, Moses, in Numbers 11, Moses once talked to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I cannot bear this burden alone. And God said, choose 70 men that will stand with you. So Moses chose men that will stand with him. He said, I'll take the spirit that is upon you and put it upon them. Now, when he says, I'll take the spirit upon you and put it upon them, you need to realize what he's talking about. What was Moses doing? Moses was speaking. He was speaking as an oracle. So he said, I will take the spirit that is upon you and put it upon these folks. Now, something that happened. Two of them, elder and middle, I think, there's two of them, they did not come into the house. So Joshua found them prophesying. Joshua now ran to Moses. He said, Master, two people are not in this service, but they are prophesying. He said, don't stop them. He said, it is the will of God that everybody be a prophet. Hallelujah. Moses knew so much. He said, it's the will of God. He said, this, see, Joshua, God wants everyone to function like the prophet. Everyone. Then later on, Joel, a prophet, now begins to prophesy. Joel. The prophets were special people in Israel. Joel now says in the last days, Joel doesn't say the last days. He said, after those days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh means that there will be no discrimination. Not every human being. You have to be born again to receive. He said, upon all flesh means, what do you mean? He said, your sons and your daughters. That is, there will be no gender discrimination. He said, your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. What exactly is Joel saying? Joel is saying, there will be no special breed or special office for utterances anymore. Everybody that is born again will function in utterances. Are you following what I'm saying? There will be no special breed of people. He said, upon all. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Upon all flesh. Some say all flesh. Some say all flesh. Now, when he mentions all flesh, he refers to gender, male and female, male servants and handmaidens. Then he says young and old. So both in gender and in age, there will be no discrimination. Everybody will function in the gift of utterance. Which today, we found out in the morning, refers to what? Huh? What? What's the gift of utterance? Tongues and what? Interpretation of tongues. Now, quickly go to Acts 1:5, and then we'll wrap that up. Acts 1:5. Jesus in verse 4 says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Exactly what you can find in Luke's Gospel chapter 24 and verse 49. So, these people, alright, that Jesus spoke to, they were now in Solomon's porch for a few days. And the Bible says, when that day came, the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So they feel. Say feel. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That word gave means to freely bestow. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So, let me ask a question. Everybody who was a believer in that place, did they speak? Did they speak? Male and female? Come on, did they speak? Did we find out what their ages were? No, because there was no necessary. This wasn't necessary because it says upon all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright, so they all spoke. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody. 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 They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 12. We read that earlier. Paul says in verse 28, and God had set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, after, or thirdly, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So he says that all apostles, our prophets, our teachers, our workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gifts. That is the greater gift, meson in the Greek. A meson refers to what happened on the day of Pentecost. The utterance gifts. You know, the thing is that the utterance gifts of all the nine are the least spectacular, but the most supernatural. They are the least spectacular. The author's gifts. The least. And yet, they are the most supernatural, if I can use that. You know, and he says, he has set some in the body. Now, when he says he has set some in the body, he's making references to the local church. You see something now? To the local church. In the body. In the local church. That means every believer in the local church has the ministry of utterances. Every believer. In the local church. I thought something in 1997, I think in 98 again, I called it, let us go back home. And people's ears were trying to see what I was saying. So let us go back home. So I showed them Acts 2. That's where the church was. Oh, let's go back home. Let's go back and have utterances, a whole lot in our services. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Paul says, when the unbeliever comes, what would the unbeliever receive? Comedy? Is it comedy? What? Come on, is it comedy? Or dance? No. He says, if you all prophesy, hallelujah. Now, he said, if you all prophesy, that means if the usher prophesies, if the person at the security prophesies, if the person leading the songs prophesies, if the protocol of the pastor prophesies, if those people at the stand, tape stand, if they prophesy, that is, they speak with tongues and interpretation. He said, the unbeliever will receive revelation from us. Hallelujah. If everybody, everybody, everybody. So it is possible for everybody to function in the utterance gifts. It's not possible for everybody to be an apostle or a prophet or a teacher in 1 Corinthians 12:28. But it says we should desire the best gift. That is, we can function in the best gift. That is, all the ministry gifts have this operation in them. Tongues plus interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because they relate with the local church. And you see something now. They relate with the local church. And Paul says we should desire. We should desire. In Acts 4, remember, when they prayed, from verse 22, and they prayed, and the Bible says the place where they prayed was shaking. Someone says shaking. Someone says shaking. I mean, that means we can have a service and the whole place is shaking together. Hallelujah. Some guy says, no, we love a service where the Holy Spirit is in control. If the Holy Spirit is in a service, people's mouths are not shut. It's when it's not in a service that your mouth is shut. Because if the Holy Spirit is moving in a service, everyone's mouth is what? Open. That's how you know. Because on the day of Pentecost, how did we know the Holy Ghost was in that service? Everybody was speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So if you are full of the Holy Ghost, how would we know? Can you be full of the Holy Ghost like this? Say, brother, what's going on? I'm filled with the Spirit. Just speak. I'm filled now. You think we're saying you are filled with food? If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, your mouth will be open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A brother came to me years back. He said, sir, I want God to use me. I want God to use me now. So I said, okay. Close your eyes. He closed his eyes, shut his mouth. He said, he cannot use it. He said, why? He said, your mouth is shut. If he wants to use it, you open your mouth. And do what? And speak. He said, speak what? Start with the basic. He said, which one? Tongues. He said, hey, yes. If you start out in tongues, you'll find out he's using you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, your mouth is open. Hallelujah. Your mouth is what? Your mouth is what? So when Paul says desire spiritual things, it means open your open your mouth. In the service, open your mouth. Even some ministers don't know this. We're having a conference in 94, that is here, Kingdom Harvest Festival, that's what we called it. And the theme was that kingdom come. We spoke about how the kingdom of God is here, just like what we're teaching today. And we used somebody's church building. No, we used another building. Then somebody gave us the, we didn't have much, so we borrowed the equipment and everything. So that person who gave us all the equipment now came. You know, we were forced to give him the mic before he takes it away. So he came. So because he was a pastor, I gave him the room. I said, sir, you want to say something for us by the Spirit of God? He smiled. He said, okay. And he said like this. He said, let the Spirit of God take control. I said, see my life. How did I allow this man to come forward? Because I wanted to do politics so that he will not take his equipment away. I said, sir, I said, let this. And he was an older minister, so he's looking at us like small boys. Let the Spirit of God take control. He felt that if we are doing something, that is not the Spirit of God. Sorry, sir, if you are watching me, you are very ignorant. I believe you have changed. Hallelujah. But I was too angry to react. My anger was, if I come upon this man, this program can end. So I said, okay, sir. Okay. And he stood there. He didn't leave. I said, hey. So let the Spirit of God take control. And he was in control. Stood there. So I said, okay, sir. You take control. Amen. So he went back to his seat. I said, Holy Spirit, take control. And we continue what we're doing. Hallelujah. If you want the Holy Ghost to take control, what do? You open your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when you are in a church service, Paul says, even if you don't have an utterance for the church, you should keep speaking to yourself and to God. A Christian must never be able to measure how long he speaks in tongues. Do you hear what I said? A Christian should never be... Say, I spoke in tongues in 2 hours. Clap for yourself. You have tried. No. You should speak with tongues often, not to be able to know how long you spoke. Because that is how you are yielding to the Spirit. So, listen to this now. Paul says desire. Did you notice... Now, when it comes to, let me quickly talk about this. When it comes to these things, alright, Paul gave us instructions. Now, I'm going to talk to you who are pastors too, so that you can take, this is part of, training. In life, you get better with anything you practice. See what Paul said to Timothy. He said, meditate upon these things. 1 Timothy 4:15. Give yourself to it. Give yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you give yourself to, you are committed to. You do it often. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all. You give yourself to. Hallelujah. Now, when Paul taught these things, he now talked about the practice. How do we get trained in the things of the Spirit? How? How do we get trained? Remember, he taught the utterance gifts. He taught it. How do we get trained? You get better with practice. I've told you, things of the Spirit work with both teaching and practice. If you gather all the Greek words, Hebrew words, Yoruba words, and Latin words, and you don't practice them, it's nothing. In fact, let me say this to you. The things of the Spirit are first of all experienced, then learned, then experienced again. That is how they are. It's like a child speaking. The child will first of all speak, then you will tell the child how to speak, then he will now speak. So, the things of the Spirit are first of all experienced. Then they are explained. Then they are experienced again. But the experience is so important. You must practice them. You can't practice speaking by reading. You can't practice speaking by thinking. You only practice speaking by what? Speaking. Now look at this. And I'm talking to the pastors now. Well, I'm talking to everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I see men and women here who are missionaries to the world. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. My work in the body of Christ amongst many people is to make every believer a minister of the gospel. That is my own work. I don't raise role models for the society. I don't raise businessmen. My work is simple. If I see you, you must answer the call of God. That is my work. It's cut out. I don't pretend. Anywhere I go, that's what I do. Hallelujah. So if you have come here, lock the door. You must not go out until they answer the call. Hallelujah. But I follow this now. So look at Jesus. He chose his apostles. What did he do? He sent them out. The first thing was they practiced. Go out and preach. Go out and lay hands on the sick. He didn't do a series on to heal the sick. No. He didn't do a series on casting out devils. He showed them, then said, go. Now, do you know that as they went, they made mistakes? In fact, there was one woman, nothing can be so funny, if they bring someone to you, to your pastor, say, I brought this, my child to your pastors. They could not cast the demon out in their presence. And Jesus used that to correct them. In Luke 9, they asked him to call down fire. He corrected them. When they were excited about it, he said, don't rejoice in it. Rejoice because your names are written. But you notice, he had something to correct. So, you must put things to practice. Listen, now, write this down. You must never be afraid to make mistakes. Do you know what I'm saying? You must never be afraid to make mistakes. I make mistakes too. You make mistakes. Mistakes show that you are learning. You must never be. Hallelujah. Don't be conscious of making mistakes or not making mistakes. Be conscious of the working of the Spirit of God in your life. So, he taught them. Notice again, same thing. You know, Jesus took them to pray in Matthew 17. Peter, James, and John. What did they do? What did they do? They slept off. Do you know what some pastors would have done today? I know why they slept. It's the place we prayed. That place makes people sleep. So, you guys, go and get a place where you can pray and you will not sleep. You are not training people that you are asking for their suggestions. Jesus took them again and they still slept. They still slept. He didn't stop training them because they were not doing the right things. Are you following what I'm saying? He took them to preach. He took them to pray. Same thing, Paul did in Corinth. He corrected them. Do you know that it's in the correction he gave them that we are taking everything we are teaching? Hallelujah. So are we not grateful that they made mistakes? If it was Ephesus, those ones, too, they look too solid. You just said, He said, praying always in the spirit. He didn't say tongues. He said, what is the spirit? What is the spirit? He had to break it down for Corinth. And we are glad for Corinth. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's in the correction that people learn. So now, he now began to explain to them. Now, I know I heard Pastor Wally talk about it, and I think Pastor Wally also probably mentioned in the morning other people about, I will that you all speak with tongues. Now, when Paul said that, he's not telling believers to speak in tongues. Mm-mm. He was talking about church gatherings. I want you, when you come together, to speak with tongues. Already believers speak with tongues. He was talking about ministering in tongues in the church meetings. So, the first place where we practice the things of the Spirit, where we get trained, is where? The church. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong, but we are learning. Hallelujah. I mean, I teach you in church at times. I see some of your pastors, the first times we ask them to come and speak in tongues, and interpret. One meeting I had with them years ago, I thought that brother, he's a minister, pastor, I thought he was experienced. So I just called him and said, you have something for us? He just got there and was groaning. Obviously, he had not learned. For me, that was an opportunity to now teach. So after that, remember, Pastor Lan is not here, is he? Was after that, then I held 3 days teaching you how to flow with the Holy Ghost. I had to now teach. Now, when that brother was groaning, people were laughing. But you are a trainer, a pastor, you won't laugh. For you, you are seeing what to teach. Pastors do not mock your ignorance without teaching you. So I saw that. Now I began to explain. There are many, many more folks here. I don't want to talk about in detail about all manner of things. Pastor Lola, years ago, 1998, I asked her to get someone filled with the Holy Ghost. It took you how many months or weeks? She was just saying, the guy is not speaking. I said, if he doesn't speak, you are not going home. So she was going around. She's learning. Now, she also goes like this. But there was a time, just one soul. You put your, you know, just, you lay hands on the pen, say, my head is pinging, you know. But you are learning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know some people today, when they come to give utterances, you will have to stop them. Stop, that's okay. Back then, they will start, they will just speak in tongues for long. Interpret now. Interpret. Now they're not bound. Hallelujah. Because that is how you learn. You must practice. Hallelujah. The first time I was called out to prophesy, I closed my eyes. I said, we should call it Alata Sweswe. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then in the prophecy, you say, Lord, I will do your will. I will do your will. But I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you will learn by practice. How did Paul say we're going to learn? He said, how is it then, brethren? When you come together. We'll come together. We'll come together. Do you know sometimes when we come together, just by watching somebody, you correct yourself. Hallelujah. I learned many things of the Spirit before the doctrine. I learned it watching people. Just watching. Most importantly, Brother Hagin. Just watching. And some of my friends. I just watch them. And I watch them. Because the things of the Spirit are learned and taught. Both. Hallelujah. What's the point of doing a series on the things of the Spirit and your mouths were shut throughout? That was a great service. No, that was not a great service. That was a torture. Paul, when Paul finished explaining, he said, now when you come together. Hallelujah. So we must do what? We must come together. Praise the Lord. We must come together often to practice the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in this place right now, do we have the church? You have the church in here right now. Alright. So, if we have the church in here right now, that means we can practice edifying one another in this place. Can we? Can we practice edifying one another in this place today? Now, how do we edify one another? We're going to edify one another through what? Huh? Utterance. What are utterance? Tongues plus what? Interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. See, I'm born of the Spirit. I have the gift of the Holy Ghost, the utterance gift of the Holy Ghost. I speak with tongues and I interpret the tongues. And people receive edification. As I speak with tongues and give the interpretation, revelation goes forth. Revelation goes forth. It shows facts, time, people, events, and things. I'm able to say these things because I'm born of the Spirit of God and I have received the promise of the Father. I yield to the Spirit of God within me. I have the oppression, the diversity of oppression called the utterance gift. It's working in my ministry. It is my ministry. Say, I have a ministry of tongues and interpretation now. I have a ministry of tongues plus interpretation now. So, I desire to function in it. Now, why are we doing this? Because the life of the Spirit is a life of faith. And I learned this from Kenneth Copeland. For 21 years or 22 years, before I preach anywhere, I use my words. Anytime. Before I came up, I just said, there's a great service. I will teach. People will understand. In the name of Jesus. And I'll come up. It's a life of faith. It's not every time you feel something, but you can use your faith. Amen. Amen. Use your faith. Your ministry is making impact. Don't go to a service and say, hope you guys will ever understand. Don't say that. Say, I know you will understand. I know you will understand. I know you will receive this. Amen. A pastor must be a man of faith. Your sermons must be full of faith. When people hear you, they should know they heard the word of faith. Many of you here. Are you even sure you are a Christian? Many of you here. Please, Mr. Man, shut up and leave the pulpit. If a preacher of the gospel, just like Paul, said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Hallelujah. You must speak faith. We must speak faith. God has faith in us. I said God has faith in us. That's why he gave us his son. Amen. So you must show faith in people. Alright, so what we're going to do, we're going to practice these things. I'm going to give you 1 hour to do that. A whole hour. But pastors are going to help me. And what you're going to do is that we want to have those who have never done this before.